And of course, most of us have had a pretty rough 18 months or 2 years nearly now. Fair to say that we faced a fair bit of sadness. Some of us loss in our families, some of us pain and hurt ourselves. Most of us a degree of anxiety we probably haven't known in our lives, as well as lots of frustrations. Trying to plan for this Christmas has been interesting. And of course, fears as well, because with the threat of COVID hanging over people, there've been a lot of people very worried for the future. It's been a tough time. It's been quite a sad situation. With that in mind, I want you to imagine that you are God and you're about to send your son to be born into this world. And I want you to think in your own mind, I can choose him to be born anywhere and at any time in world history. So if you were God, where do you think you would place Jesus? And what sort of circumstances would you put him in? Any guesses? Imagine today, you've got an idea, where would you choose? No. I imagine today most people would say, well, this is not a great time to have a little baby be born. They would probably have said that in Jesus' day. I imagine we would probably opt for the very best of medical care for a newborn baby. So we'd perhaps choose a modern hospital or something like that. Or bearing in mind he was born to be king, maybe we'd choose one of the great palaces at one of the great times in world history for that empire to be blossoming. Is that what you choose? Well, we're going to hear at this point the first part of our reading for tonight, which tells us a little bit about where God chose to send his son to be born.
The birth of Jesus, Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
So comfort? Far from it. It was actually a pretty sad situation that Jesus was born into. I don't know if you've ever taken that in, because it's part of the Christmas story. We often gloss over the first part of it, don't we? But can you imagine? Well, we know where Jesus was born. What was the name of that little town that Jesus was born in? Bethlehem. Thank you, Benjamin. Absolutely. A tiny little, probably a village hamlet or something like that, in a kind of backwater of the world, really. Not really anywhere near the hub of civilization, which at that period was Rome. But Rome had extended that far, because we know that at that point Israel had occupied forces, the Roman army, in its territory. So it wasn't a time of comfort. It was a time when they were living under the oppression of a foreign army living in their town. And it was a time when nobody could just do what they wanted, just like perhaps we're facing at the moment. In fact, we're told exactly the circumstances Jesus was born into. His parents expecting him were forced to go from where they lived, which is a nice little town called Nazareth up in the north of Israel, all the way down south of Jerusalem, a journey of some, well, I suppose 90 miles as the crow flies, but to register to be taxed. Now, some of you are mums. Can you imagine 8.5 months pregnant being told you've got to journey 90 miles, and we're not in the days of public transport or railways, aeroplanes, cars, anything like that. If you're going to travel that distance, you've got to walk. You might have a donkey, we don't know, there have been many nativity stories, but it's a journey that would take you best part of a week, 20 miles a day, something like that. This is tough times. We don't have a God who decided to send Jesus for a superpower type into the world to glide 6 inches above the floor. We have a God who chose to send his son into the similar sad sort of situations that many people in our world face, as we have in the last 2 years. Let's continue our story.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord."
Did you catch that last sentence? Today in the town of David, something has been born to you. Anyone get the word? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. It was the promise that the angels made to those shepherds on the hillsides. Somebody to rescue, somebody to help, someone to give the support you need when you're in trouble. Someone to be there for you. That was God's concern for people in sad situations in Jesus' day. And it's his concern for us here today too. And notice what it says. It says, and this is for everybody. It says in the verse there that this is good news for all the people. And that means you and me, everybody. Now, the shepherds might have doubted that. They were normally the people who were kind of out of the normal community events. They lived up on the hills, not in the towns. They were people who were kind of excluded from things. They might have thought, God's not interested in us. But God chose them to be the first to see Jesus because this is good news for everybody. Actually, it says he came as a Savior. What it says is this: it's today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. That's an interesting word. It means God's chosen one. Is it sort of religious jingo, sort of jargon? No, it's something quite significant. It means this is somebody God has chosen. This is somebody who's got God's approval to be the right person to help us out, to be there for us. And it tells us how he's going to do it. It says he's also the Lord, which means the King. Somebody to lead and to guide. I don't know where you look to for a moment for the future. Who do you trust for the future? We trust politicians? A few shaking of heads there, I think. There was a cracker joke I came across with, which asked, what's the similarity between the Houses of Parliament and ancient Bethlehem? In both, it's very rare to find three wise men. Or is it scientists we look to? Well, maybe we do for some things, for the medical side of things. They've been fantastic developing all sorts of vaccines, haven't they? But to touch the deeper things, the emotional side of things, our loss, our loneliness, or our need of forgiveness, and our need of God's love, well, that's not the job of a scientist. But God sent somebody with his approval, a Savior, to be the King, to meet our needs. Let's continue our story.
This will be a sign to you. you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
"This will be a sign to you," said the angel. "You will find a baby." Where? Where were they going to find the baby? In a manger, yeah, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Look outside, says they point you in the right direction, don't they? And this is the direction
those shepherds had to go to find that saviour. But we kind of lose the impact of that because we're used to the Christmas story. It's rather like saying, "You'll find the baby on one of the benches in the marketplace, somewhere you would not expect a newborn baby to be." But they knew exactly who to go to because there'd be no other baby lying in a cattle trough on that particular day. And the angel was particularly pointing them to who? Who was it who was born in that stable? Who was it who was born there? Yes.
Perhaps the little life was Jesus, wasn't it? This is the way to Jesus. And as we remember today, he came to be that light,
the light of the world for us. And that's what we celebrate in our service today. He came to be the one who would make a difference in our lives. The thing about signposts is, yes, they point you in the right direction, but they also make you choose which direction you go. If you come to a roundabout and it's got four branches, you can have signposts that say, "You've got to go that way," or "You ought to go that way." But you've got three roads you could choose, and you have to choose. You need to choose whichever direction you want to go. So it's quite possible to come today and say, "I know the story of Christmas. I can't do a lot about the sad situation that we're in at the moment. I've heard that there's a saviour, and I know there's a sign pointing towards him, but that's probably it for me. I can go on as I am, straight on. I've done my bit for Christmas. Bring on the turkey." Or I can do what the shepherds did and follow the sign and discover the saviour for myself personally. And they made their decision and did exactly that. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And their lives were transformed. We're told when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all were amazed by what they heard. You see, God had provided someone who would have an answer to the loneliness we perhaps find with his friendship, who would be there to comfort us when we're anxious and fearful, who would stand with us in our pain and give us his assurance for the future, who would understand our frustrations and be able to give us the wonderful gift of patience and peace and a sense of purpose, and would stand with us in our sadness and loss and give us one true hope for the future, eternal life with him. That's what the shepherds showed. They were receptive listeners. They embraced the obedience of going to find Jesus. They were enthusiastic when they found him, and they wanted to share that with everyone. Their lives were transformed. And although we're talking about an event 2,000 years ago, the same pattern remains true for today. We can follow the Christ light to find his love for each of us too.